Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. Okay, all of you Christs, and I hope you're not in the closet tonight. If you are, come out and play, because we're going to have some fun. Our topic tonight is soul awareness, integration, and infusion. But before I launch into the topic, I have the most delightful book I'm reading. And to all my sisters out there, I highly recommend it. You're going to love it. And maybe a few of you brothers as well. It's by Elizabeth Gilbert, and it's entitled Eat, Pray, Love. And this is a passage I wanted to share with you that is so much fun. This is Liz speaking. And by the way, she's in an ashram in India at this point. I'm tired of being a skeptic. I'm irritated by spiritual prudence, and I feel bored and parched by empirical debate. I don't want to hear it anymore. I couldn't care less about evidence and proof and assurances. I just want God. I want God inside me. I want God to play in my bloodstream the way sunlight amuses itself on water. How's that for a beautiful metaphor? I want God to play in my bloodstream the way sunlight amuses itself on water. She has the most absolutely exquisite metaphors that she uses throughout the book. She's just a consummate master of her written expression. So we're going to start this evening with a meditation of soul infusion. So make yourself comfortable, relax, sit upright, and take a long, deep breath. Center yourself. And quietly and gently park your attention on the very top of your head. See, picture, visualize, or postulate that there is a 1,000-petaled golden lotus, shimmering, gorgeous, radiating golden light at the very top of your crown, of your head. Visualize, if you will, a golden being, the most precious one, the Rinpoche, seated in a lotus position in the very center of that lotus. That is you. That is the soul, the atmic imagery, portraying itself as the jewel in the lotus. Tonight we are going to infuse our entire being and all of our chakras and levels of awareness, our inner universes that we have colored in consciousness with our own experiences, our interpretations of our experiences, and our myriad of passages through this and countless world systems in which we have unfolded in awareness, in beingness, and in the existence that we share eternally as part of the divine, all that is. So as you sit as a golden child, as the Rinpoche, as the precious jewel in the lotus, expand your light and now allow that light to infuse down to the center of your head and open the beautiful lotus that is the indigo violet lotus of your Agnya center or third eye. Deep breath. Bring that golden light, like sunlight, and let it play upon the petals of your third eye center. Beautiful indigo violet. See it opening, petal by petal, until it glimmers and glistens in beautiful indigo light. And as it does, see that soul that you are, also replicated as it shines as the golden child also in a multidimensional dimension of your consciousness, also inhabiting your third eye. Now with another deep breath, bring that golden light, that golden essence, the golden soul that you are, to illumine the beautiful, rich royal blue chakra residing in your throat, which is also a lotus. See the petals open to the sunlight of your golden presence. As that beautiful blue light scintillates and radiates the purest blue tonalities. See yourself now occupying the top of your crown chakra, your brow chakra, and your throat chakra. As we take another deep breath, and allowing the golden sunlight of your being, your precious presence, to come and activate itself within the beautiful green garden, the sacred garden of your heart, as that green lotus begins to unfold an emerald tonality, revealing the very kingdom of heaven within you. And see that divine presence glowing like a golden living flame. It is you, but it is you and your divine fiery body of holy light. And when you're ready, take another deep breath. And bring that beautiful golden sunlight to reside in the yellow chakra, the yellow lotus within your solar plexus. And see the golden child, the inner child, joining to sit with great delight in the presence of you as the golden soul. And see that golden presence unfolding the petals of the yellow lotus. And your inner child cradled in great love and embracement by you, the divine soul. And when you're ready, take another deep breath. And allow the golden sunlight of your divine solific presence to illumine the orange petals of your procreative center. And again, see that light infuse and fill your emotional, imaginative bodies and everything that has to do with your feeling nature. And take a deep breath. And now bring the light all the way down to your root chakra, which is red, and see this golden light of your soul essence infusing and integrating into the very root of this beautiful crimson-red lotus that opens in response to the sunlight of your holy presence as it illumines and expands in beautiful, fully opened petals. So we ask at this time that anything that could be lifted, transmuted, cleared, mitigated, ameliorated, or ascended to a higher frequency, that be done through grace. And now we take a deep breath and expand the quintessential essence of all of these colors to form a circular radiance that is of rainbow hue. So that the red, the orange, the yellow, the green, the blue, the indigo violet, and the golden all form in this beautiful rainbow body of light all around your entire auric field. And within the center of that auric field, you see your body like a golden flame, a beautiful golden flame. And that is you in the very center of your universes that have been woven out of your passages of time and space. Yes, beloved, there are greater universes without that we call the God realms. And you will progress from this, the quintessential integration and sublimation and infusion and expansion of your soul awareness and your self-realized states. You will expand beyond into the infinite God realms, the realms that go beyond manifested form, such as we know them now. Yes, beloveds, there's always more. The plus factor prevails in spirit. There is always open-ended expansion to that which beckons you to yet a greater spiritual promise of revelation and glory. Take a deep breath. And now from the center of your golden soul awareness, send the light, expand the light, and allow it now to bless yourself and your immediate household and family, including your pets, your children, whatever you have in your immediate environment. Bless them all with the blessing of shalom, which is to say the blessing of wholeness and complete peace. Now extend that light to your circle of friends and acquaintances, your co-workers. Embrace them also with the blessing of shalom. And now expand it to include your frenemies. Yeah, those are your friends that are pretending for this sake of learning to be your enemies. But really, they're your friends, simply disguised as another instrument for your opening and your integration as a divine being. Now expand this beautiful golden light of shalom to your frenemies and then to your environment, to everything in your neighborhood, your community, your state, your province, the area in which you reside on the planet. And bless it all, the blessing of shalom. And now finally, take the entire planet and just allow it to be completely surrounded by the golden, soulific soul body, the flame, golden flame of you as Atma, as soul. Allow the planet to rest lightly within that golden flame. And bless the entire planet and everything that lives upon it, plants, animals, people, birds, fish, minerals, the soil, everything that exists. Bestow the blessing of shalom. Peace, peace, peace. Shanti, shanti, shanti. To all beings, to all worlds, everywhere. Take a deep breath. And allow that golden light now to be very present as it infuses your physical body, as you're still sitting and listening to our transmission and our seminar this evening. Allow this awareness to begin to replace the sense of self that you have of being a limited body. You are limitless light. You are awareness itself. You are the eyes of God, gazing from eternity into time and space. You are none other than the Ancient of Days, the one without a second, that having permeated all of existence with a portion of itself, remains ever full, undiminished, and ever observing with infinite love all that is. So the purpose, beloveds, of every spiritual exercise, every technique of meditation, is to get the real you, the spiritual master that you are, down here and into your physical human mind and body, and to radiate out through you into your physical expression. That's the whole purpose, is to get in here. The way out is to become fully present in this world and to awaken and dissolve the world. Because when you awaken fully, the world of appearances vanishes. And you find that you've never left the heart of God. You begin to see oneness instead of through the illusions of separate existence. Now, while it is certainly accurate in theory to claim that one is divine, a god-goddess in human form, it is quite another matter to actually embody that divinity at all times and within every circumstance, situation, and environment of one's daily life. And you know what? Until we can do that, we're not free. You're not free until you are firmly established in soul awareness. And that is exactly the purpose for souls taking human embodiment on Earth. Earth is the best school anywhere, ever, in which we develop soul awareness. That's the whole purpose of the Earth Dance, is soul integration, infusion, and awareness. The attainment, if you will, of Christ consciousness, which is another way of saying the same thing. So, this is a way in which we become what is termed self-realized or enlightened, liberated, or a jivan mukta in Sanskrit, which is a soul that while they are walking in the human environment and life expression, they are nevertheless liberated and established in soul awareness. So soul awareness is achieved through the gradual absorption of higher light frequencies. The absorption of higher light frequencies enables the light to enter the human mind and brain and the nervous system and to penetrate the cellular structure. And when this occurs, it begins the process to bring to the surface everything that has been lodged in the unconscious, in the subconscious, in the cellular memory, in the genetics, in the DNA, in the, let's say, karmic dust that has settled upon the purity of the eternal being that you are. It begins to reveal that which was hidden. That's really, if you want to know the honest quintessential meaning of the time that we're in, referred to as the apocalypse, that's a Greek word that simply means the uncovering and uncapping of that which has been hidden before. So corporately, globally, individually, collectively, we're all in the process of having the light of higher consciousness, which is part of this massive quantum leap we're making and this paradigm shifting. It is penetrating into us all as a collective, and from the collective soul, it is going into the collectivity of consciousness, which we call the human kingdom, and awakening it. That's the whole thing that's happening. Everything that was hidden is coming to light. Now, at the same time, there's a cleansing that takes place. and a releasing and a purifying and a transmuting of all that would be of a lower vibration or density or negative imprint. So the light literally burns away the dross of the ego. Let me define the term ego as I use it. The ego is simply a false sense of self, one based upon separation. It's that sense of separation and alienation that forms the very root of fear or false evidence appearing real. So, and I like Wayne Dyer's definition of ego as well. Ego means edging God out, which is impossible. So we can only pretend like that's happening, but you can't edge God out. God is, and that's what you are. You're one with God. But the ego is just a little fearful thought form of separation. The ego is not who you are. The ego mind is simply a fear-based perception of separation from all life. So wherever we contract through fear or a sense of separate, you pass a judgment on something as being different and you begin the process of separation. So that retraction of your essence, of your loving, of your embracement is the ego. And the only reason why we would contract and separate is through fear. So fearful perception projects maya or samskara or that which we call the illusion. And true seeing is revelation and divine vision. Whenever you're looking through the higher consciousness of divine vision, you see the oneness. You see the one divine light and life. So the sense of fear and separation from God and from others is truly nothing less than hell. You know, there really is no hell other than a conscious choice to live separate from the awareness of God and the awareness of love. Who would do that? Well, nobody in their right mind. So all fear arises from the ego mind's sense of separation. And along with that, every form of unhappiness and suffering. So we'd have to say that whenever you're experiencing unhappiness or suffering or anything less than the full joy and shalom of God, you're actually in an ego-based state of mind. So just as turning on the light in a room displaces all sense of darkness and all the boogeymen that fear suggests were waiting to get you, they simply vanish in the light. So in a similar manner, as the light of soul awareness begins to fill your mind and body, all the darkness is displaced within your mind and your physical cells, until you are fully infused with the illumination of your true soul light. And since light and God and love and Christ are all definitions for one and the same thing, you become at one with the light, the God presence, love, and the Christ. So this process of light integration and infusion continues to transmute and transform every part of your mind and body. And gradually you progress from darkness to light, and from fear to love, and from separation to Christ consciousness and oneness, and from death to an immortal, ascended body of light. So God has actually been described as a consuming fire. So all falsehood and darkness is consumed by the fire of God within you. All darkness is displaced by the divine light of your true self, your Christ-conscious self, or soul, or Atma, as it's called in the East. And that part that is yours to elect to do, should you choose to do so, is to spend a portion of each day filling and infusing your entire being with the light and higher vibrations. You can do that in so many ways. There's really not just one way to do that. But whatever causes you to resonate and vibrate in a higher state, which would be to say a more loving state, because again, love is the highest vibration. Pure unconditional love is the God vibration. So filling yourself with love, filling yourself with anything that causes you to be in a more loving and centered space increases the light in yourself. So the effects of meditation are sometimes experienced quite dramatically. For example, when the light of soul shines into your mind, your thoughts begin to dart helter-skelter like crazed monkeys. And this is why all teachers prescribe a mantra or passage of scripture to contemplate and focus your mind. Gradually, the mind will then become so attached to the vibration of the mantra or so involved in contemplating the scriptural verse or seed thought that it is captivated and stilled, and you can then transcend above and beyond thought into the golden radiance of soul awareness. The state of soul awareness is what I've often described as the objective observer, or that part of you that is simply present, but not critiquing or judging or thinking. It's just a state of pure awareness. And that is the most peaceful state. That's really shalom in the mind, which could also be called equanimity, where you're just centered and not reacting to your environment. So as you do that, as you begin to move inward into this soul awareness state, the moving of the mental atoms of your awareness in response to this infusion of light causes the sense of soaring or inward flying. Those of you that have dreams of flying or projecting your soul and finding yourself bilocated, or any sense of inward movement that you might have, that is actually the rearranging of the atoms in response to the moving of your consciousness through the sea of atoms. See, we live in this sea of atoms. And the only thing that causes the atoms to respond is the consciousness, which is another name for the soul. The soul is conscious awareness itself. That's exactly what it is. And it alone is the living word that rearranges atoms to accommodate its focus and preference and intention. So by displacing the atoms of one-dimensional plane of awareness with those of another is what produces the sense of movement, which sometimes has been called soul travel or soul projection, which, by the way, is different than astral projection. Astral projection is where you exit your physical body, and you can look down on it, and you'll see there's a silver cord attached to your navel. That's your astral body, and it can only go in the astral plane, which is in your immediate physical environment and in the plane just above that. That's not the soul. The soul is connected with a golden strand of light, and that is connected in the pineal, pituitary, hypothalamus, areas of the brain, disperses into all of the DNA in each cell, and radiates out to the sentient sea of the physical body, and then comes down in what is called the life strand, which anchors in the heart. And when Liz Gilbert described wanting God to dance in her bloodstream, like the light, sunlight dancing on the water, that's such a perfect metaphor, because the life principle of God, the Creator, is actually anchored in our heart and flows out through our blood system as life itself. Life is in the blood. Likewise, God and life are the one and same thing. The spirit of life is God, and that inhabits your blood system. So that's a perfect metaphor to allow God to dance in your blood, in your heart, in your arteries, just like sunlight dances upon the water of the ocean. Perfect metaphor. So this is actually the movement of awareness from one point of focus to another, and then being able to hold a multiplicity of points of focus at the same time. In other words, the only way you can do that without becoming schizophrenic is to expand your awareness. This is what is meant by the term multidimensional awareness. You can become aware of yourself on more than one dimension at the same time. We did a very simplistic form of that in our meditation as we took the golden presence of the soul and moved it into a positioning within each of the chakras so that you saw yourself in seven different levels of manifestation. And then in an eighth one, we moved it into the rainbow aura around your entire auric field, the rainbow vehicle, that's called, which is a manifestation of the Merkaba. It's also a manifestation of those globes that so many people are seeing now. Those are actually little multidimensional beings that are manifesting. But this getting a sense of yourself in expanded versions of yourself, not limited to this enchilada parked on the chair, wherever it is you're sitting right now, but having a sense of yourself being present everywhere. You know, it says in the Bhagavad Gita about Krishna, eyes and hands, everywhere, thousands of eyes of God, thousands of hands moving and serving and doing everything everywhere throughout the cosmos. Well, that's you too. The Christ conscious self that you are, the soul, the Atma, the Buddhi, you are all of that. Also, it's just that we're not quite as practiced as Krishna was, or Jesus the Christ, or Satya Sai Baba, or the Buddha. We're not as practiced as exercising our multidimensional awareness as they were and are. And now is our time to do that. They had their time, they had their dance in the sun. Now we are to dance in the sunlight of soul awareness upon the waters of life. So the soul, that is the real you, is omnipresent spiritually. So the specific focus held in awareness within time and space defines where you specifically manifest. And since we're in a time-space continuum here in the lower dimensions, we do have a singular point of focus that we define as our identity. And that's just fine, as long as you don't forget and lose sight of the fact that that's not all the story involving you. You're always so much more. So your location in consciousness is determined by the rate of your light vibration. So your light vibration, your light quotient, and the dimension upon which you manifest and can enter and exit at will depends upon your vibration matching that particular level or dimension. So the higher the vibration, the greater the light, until one transcends the material worlds of form entirely, and you transcend all limitation, altogether. And basically, this defines the process of ascension. So when we talk about ascension, that's all we're talking about, is raising the vibration of our light until we transcend the world of form and limitation altogether. And this simply is the principle that is the same as raising and lowering of vibrational wavelengths and modulating your frequency. This is exactly how the masters can appear and disappear at will. And as we master the vibrational light spectrum and limitless light, because we're going from limited light spectrum, because the lower creation, remember, is a mixture of limitless light, Ein Sof, and limited light, or the call, the time-binding spirit, or the lower dimensional energies of illusion that are ego projected from the lower fallen mind. That was a lot of words for you to take on. Let me say it more simply. I can remember what I was saying. Well, I lost that one. Let's move on to another thought. Spirit moves fast. You got to move with it, because if you segue too much, you lose your trail. Anyway, we are in this process of moving from the mixture of fallen thought forms and pure light to limitless light of super luminosity. In other words, the light that we have down here in these lower worlds of time and space and duality is limited light. It's not the full spectrum light. The full spectrum light is what we are being reintroduced to as we integrate our soul levels and then our oversoul levels. And the first level of oversoul integration is what is called the Christ oversoul, which I like to call the unified field or the cosmic magnet. I've done many shows on this using different terminology, but somewhere we can each find a toehold to understand what we're talking about here. Is it important to understand it? Yeah, if you want to become Christ conscious, you can probably sleep your way through a lot of different levels, but we're getting ready to graduate now. So personally, I think conscious awareness is very important. I mean, why would you want to miss the most glorious period of ascension and transcension and transcendental awakening that you've ever had? I mean, why would one want to sleep through that? So, yeah, many times to see something, you just simply need to be willing to look. How can you look? Well, you know what? You just imagine that you're looking at whatever it is you want to examine. You can look at anything. You can look at the cells in your body. You can look at your chakras. You can look at your light quotient. You can look at your auric field. Just mock up a screen in front of your mind's eye and put yourself up there. And look, you are going to be amazed at what you see if you just look. There's nothing that will be denied you if you approach it with a sincere desire to see what's there. And until you try it, you won't realize how easy it is. So, the raising and lowering of vibrational frequency is what causes appearing and disappearing to occur. And this is how our spaceships also seem to appear and disappear, through the lowering and raising of the vibrational field in which they resonate. So you can observe the same effect in the disappearing of an airplane's propeller blades, or the blades of a fan, or the hummingbird's wings, which seem to disappear when the speed of oscillation is increased, and to reappear when it is slower in oscillation. So the same principle applies to the speed at which our electrons spin. The highest vibration in this universe is called Christic love, or unconditional divine love. And the greater the love, the higher our vibration. And pure unconditional divine love is the highest vibration in the universe and the highest vibrating act we can possibly do is selfless, loving service. So that's why all genuine teachers of light and masters emphasize the need for unconditional loving service. You got to be involved in self-giving, because the whole process of mastery is learning how to gradually lose yourself, that which is in the world is transcended by that which is greater and not of the world, and that is you as a divine incarnated atomic manifestation. So everything that happens in your life is designed to jumpstart, ignite, or shock you into awakening. Those are strong words, huh? To jumpstart, ignite, or shock you into awakening. You know, Sai Baba said one time, he said that sometimes people awaken spontaneously from the Maya, the dream of Maya, by the nightmare becoming so vivid that just like when you have an awful nightmare, sometimes it awakens you. In the same manner, sometimes things enter our lives when nothing else has served to awaken us, that shock us so much that suddenly we awaken. Haven't you heard people when they're subjected to an awful tragedy, they'll say, "This is like a nightmare. You know, I can't believe that this has happened," and they're just sort of stunned. It says, "I can't believe this is happening." It's true. They're in a nightmare. The good news is that every single one of us will awaken to discover that we've never left home. We've never left the heart of God. We have never been affected by our passage through time and space in any detrimental way, because illusion can't affect the truth. You know, illusion can't touch truth. That was the whole purpose at a higher, more esoteric level of understanding of how Jesus allowed the dark forces to crucify him and then proved that they had no effect on eternal love by forgiving them and resurrecting his physical body. You can't kill eternal love. You can't kill soul. You can't kill the divine being that you are. It can only appear to die in the illusion. But when you enter into the truth, you find that no one has died. Everyone resurrects from the tomb of illusion as the Christ that they are. So Jesus is often referred to his crucifixion as the last unnecessary journey, which was a great symbol of the power of love. So the nightmare of fear and separation ends when you awaken. Isn't that the best news ever? When you awaken to the inner light of truth, which forms your very core essence of soul, all the nightmare vanishes. Everything vanishes but the truth and the beauty and the godness of all things. So the same divine truth within you can be called by many names. Again, these are names that define the same divine truth. You can call it God, Christ, soul, spirit, Atma, Paramatma, love, light, divine life. Yet they're all one and the same. Descriptions of the same true self, the one true self or soul. They're all one and the same. So part of our training in this earth school of soul integration and infusion is learning how to discern the temporary illusion. You know, temporary comes from the word temporal, which comes from the word that defines time. And it's telling you that illusion only lasts for a season. Sorrow only lasts for a night, and joy returns in the morning. So in the morning of our awakening, all the sadness, all the illusion, all the pain, which was temporary, is dissolved into incredible joy. And that is really the end of the world. Not its destruction, but its revelation to be the kingdom of God and of his Christ. And when we say, and of his Christ, that includes his corporate body of Christed souls, which would be you and me and all of us as the collective Messiah or the collective sonship or the vanguard of advancing light, however you want to language that. So part of this discerning process is to train ourselves not to react to the illusion. I love this statement from the Course in Miracles. Nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. You know, if it's true, it can't be marred or touched or affected or destroyed or diminished by passing through the illusion any more than the sun is affected by storm clouds that pass across its face. You know, a storm cloud may occlude the sun, but the sun is still shining behind the appearance of the storm cloud. In exact manner, view your life from the position of being the sun. And just view events, people, happenings, circumstances, like so many clouds that are passing before your radiance. Just let them pass. Don't grab them. Don't try to process them. Don't try to fix them. Don't try to do anything with them. Just allow them to pass and observe. You just stay there as the sun of God and radiate that light. And I mean sun, S-U-N, of God. You're the divine sun, the great central sun, if you will, that's radiating divine glory throughout the cosmos. And you should care what passes in front of you. It's not going to touch you. So, again, what is true is not limited nor affected, touched or marred by time or illusion. So when I say that we are saved by grace, that means the miracle of divine love has collapsed the illusion of time-space and the illusion of limitation. All of that has been simply laid aside by the supernatural and unconditional love of God. And that saved by grace covers you with reality and causes all of the illusion of the separated self to simply vanish. There's very, very deep meanings in what we're talking about here. If you contemplate it, I think oneness of purpose, it is possible that the nightmare for you and the illusion will fall away and dissolve, and you'll just be in that self-realized state. Sometimes it just happens to reach your ears, this kind of information, at just the time that you're ready to do that. So reality is unaffected by time, space, birth, death, and to learn this requires much immersion in the physical arena of experiences. Haven't you noticed that when you go through a certain experience that's very painful and difficult again and again and again and again and again. At some point, you see, you kind of wake up within that, and you kind of become numbed to that experience. It loses its charge. And likewise, as we keep passing through experiences and what we call this illusion of reincarnation, actually we don't reincarnate because we never left the heart of God, but we do send projections of consciousness, rays of awareness, to rest like beams of sunlight in different time-space continuums, and that gives again the sense of separate existence. And in that immersion, we go through experience after experience after experience until eventually our cup is filled and things no longer affect us. These are often what are told to be old souls. Well, souls don't actually age, but they become, let's say, surfeited with the experience of phenomenal existence by constant repetitive experiences within time and space, or samsara, or maya, as it's termed, the illusion field. So it's important to remember then that absolutely nothing in our lives occurs by happenstance or mistake. We're always responding to a pre-orchestrated program in time and space. In other words, in the eternal now, when everything is already completed, you look down into the myriad of parallel probable realities and choices that could be exercised, and you figure out where you would like to have experience, where you seem to be lacking in some area, or want to build in more awareness, or whatever the motivation may be. You want to re-experience that past timeline and reanimate it, maybe to perfect it, maybe to do it with greater awareness, maybe to do it with greater love, maybe just to experience it in slow motion so that you understand its dynamics so perfectly that then you can teach it to others. So within the planes and planets subject to the laws of duality and polarity, and karmic recompense, and repeating cycles, we have basically two major tracks that we can elect to follow. One, again, would represent the path of separation that the ego mind projects, and the other would be the path of the unified field, or the Christ mind. In other words, there would be the negative path and a positive path, which we don't have those choices in the higher realms where it's only the positive. So the default setting in time and space is always a negative polarity, because here in the lower worlds it's the strongest, until we make a conscious choice. But you have to make that conscious election to step out of the negative and to begin to embrace of the reality. And eventually we come to the point where we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we just end the karma drama. But then that's up to each one of us to do. So we need to recognize the fact that there is a negative polarity down here in the illusion field whose job is to ensnare, to tempt, to test, and to thwart all tendencies to advance into goodness and liberation. That's the game plan, to see if it can tackle you and block your thrust and see if it can get you off the track of awakening. Because once you awaken, you know, the ego dissolves like the Wicked Witch of the West. It just goes, yeah, into a little puddle of water and evaporates. So naturally, illusions like to be sustained, because that's the nature of whatever is. It wants to keep sustaining itself. So the negative polarity is called the time-binding spirit, or call, which is another name for blemishless darkness, or the devil, or Satan, or Lucifer. And the positive polarity is called Jyot Niranjan, which means blemishless light, or Jyot is also Jyoti, light. And that's the pure light, a positive light. It's also called the Christ, the Holy Spirit, and Sat Nam. Sat Nam means true name. And that's the first manifestation of the real Godhead that is the Lord of the soul plane. And that would be the Golden Kingdom where soul dwells eternally and always in that state, even as it is also existing in the God worlds beyond. Again, we're talking about a multidimensional, omnipresent state of divine awareness. So Sat Nam, often called the youth of many summers, the ancient of days, there's so many names for Sat Nam. But let's just say that that is the first true manifestation of the real, true God beyond name and form, such as we know it. So the lower power, the negative power, causes attachment to material form and states, and the positive energy causes freedom, release into freedom and into limitless light. So again, we are being released through grace from attachment to the material to freedom into the limitless light of angels. So you can pretty much look at your life and most likely see a mixture of good tendencies and ego-driven tendencies. And that's normal. That's par for the course. We all have that. Not to worry. Here are some signs of soul integration. Well, as the soul, it's called appropriation, as the soul begins to appropriate, integrate, infuse, and own different levels of its vehicles of manifestation, you have a physical body, an astral body, which is your imagination, a causal body, which is your emotions, and also the seed, the seeds of your karma. You have a lower mental body or ego mind or concrete lower mind. You have a higher mind or the Buddhi or the intuitive mind or the knower, which is also by some disciplines called the soul. And then you have the soul body. And then you have the God body. And then you have levels within the God form, which we would call oversoul levels. And they nest like so many babushka dolls, those Russian wooden nesting dolls, you know, where one fits into the next, into the next, into the next, into the next, like that. They all fit together and homogenize and blend and synthesize together. So you can only really discern them by their vibrational oscillation. So as the soul begins to get down into you, it produces certain signs of integration. Now, on the physical level, a soul-infused personality generally has reached a high level of physical dexterity. For example, an Olympic athlete, a circus performer, a ballet dancer, a gymnast, whoever has great control over their physical body, they've mastered their physical form. That indicates a level of physical soul integration. And such a person has to be an initiate of a certain degree to have stabilized that to where the physical body has actually become a living temple for the soul to manifest through. Then you have astral integration. A person that has integrated their soul into their astral body is a person who is able to maintain a consistency of emotional balance, centeredness, and control. In other words, they're not going to react overly out of balance. They're going to be in control of their emotions, not suppressing, but directing. There's going to be a measure of conscious exercising of emotional expression. The sign of the soul balanced in the emotional body would be serenity. In the mental body, the evidence of soul integration would be clarity. The soul sees very clearly that which is. In fact, light and sight, esoterically speaking, and in terms of sacred geometry, are the same configuration in sacred geometry for light, the eye, and sight. So in the light of soul, we see things quite clearly. We have great, again, the ability to pierce through the illusion with our inner spiritual sight and discern the real from the unreal. Very, very clear for a person who is integrated in the mental body. So the evidence of a soul-infused personality at the mental level would be this clarity and the capacity for deep and penetrating insight into the heart of truth. The mind becomes like a fine, a very sharp sword. It just can absolutely cleave and part and reveal the contents of the heart of a matter, or a person for that matter. Now, spiritually, the sign of a soul-infused personality would be tremendous impact in whatever field of endeavor they're involved with. These would be the people that would be recognized as the way showers, the teacher of teachers, the guru of gurus, the savants, the mystics, the enlightened ones that move like great stags of the forest into the world and part the veils of illusion and reveal light. Whatever field they're in, they're light bringers, and they're those that reveal the goodness and the inherent beauty and divinity of all life. Now, if you're in a musical, if you have musical talent, if you have talent in writing, if you're an artist or a poet or a doctor or an engineer, an architect, a city planner, or a CEO of a great mega corporation, whatever you do from spiritual consciousness is done with the utmost integrity, impeccability, sense of responsibility. There's excellence brought into that expression, whatever it is. And the end result of your passage through that arena is enlightenment. You wake people up just by being who you are and doing what you do. It's just that simple. So the more that you get inside you, the more that what is inside you radiates into the whole world. You affect your community. You affect the neighbors that are on either side of your apartment or in the houses in your neighborhood. You impact your state. You impact the entire world. And the difference between the expansion of your soul awareness is that whereas a person who is just in the beginning stages of integration might affect their family or their neighborhood, the initiate affects the entire planet. And your auric field sometimes goes out for miles. In fact, get this one. Sai Baba described his physical body, the aura of his physical body, expands to 100 miles in a circumference of his physical location. His subtle body embraces the entire planet. His causal body embraces and expands and includes the entire universe. How could we even begin to understand a cosmic avatar, which is what he is, a full cosmic avatar? But bear in mind, that is your destiny and mine as well. We will keep expanding and including more and more and more. And that sign, those expansions of sequential inclusiveness. Inclusiveness. I call it embracement. Same idea. You include and embrace more and more within your field of registration. In other words, you can register the frequencies of more and more. You can respond lovingly to more and more. You can expand in your capacity to administer and to serve in greater expansive arenas. And remember, your expression doesn't stop and start with your physical body. Begin to envision that golden soul body, like a precious golden flame, in the center of that rainbow jeweled vehicle all around you, and visualize that it just expanding with more and more inclusiveness, more and more inclusiveness. That meditation on the light is a very good one, where you keep expanding that light from that central core of your soul being. You keep expanding, 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 expanding. And that is all that the God presence within us really wants to do, is expand, include, embrace, and love. That was the intention behind the Supreme Creator extending his oneness, his her oneness, through the many, which would be our individual appearances and expressions, sparks or rays of that one divine creator. The purpose was to experience love. Experience love individually and returning. You know, it's not much fun to love if you don't have that love that you can experience also. So even apparently the great divine creator longed to be loved. That's why I'm constantly teaching about how important it is for us to consciously give our heart to God. Sai Baba said one time that the only thing that God, the creator of everything, does not possess is the human heart, and that has to be given to God of our own free will. So what does God want from you? He wants you to love him. He just wants love. That's it. He created you out of his love for the purpose of love, to express love, and to receive your love in return. And when you find the way to the Father's heart, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven and all that he possesses. So there you have the secret of abundance too. Win the heart of the Father, and it's all yours. That's a deeper meaning of seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all things are added unto you. You know, it's interesting, because once you have the kingdom of heaven, once you've found it, and you're sitting right in the divine presence, you don't have any desire for anything. And then everything comes and it sits in your lap, and it's like the only thing you want to do then is give it to others. So then you become the great bestower of the goods, whatever it is that you get, because when you're full, your only desire is to give forth of that fullness. And that's another sign of soul integration. You become the server. You become the servant. You become the giver of life. You become the bestower of benediction. You become the Holy One, that wherever you place your foot, it has been rendered sacred ground. And you're the walking temple, and you're the living prayer, and you become the living word, and you become the bread of heaven, and you become the Christed one, no longer in the closet of ego limitation and self-denigration. Oh no, the closet has been dissolved in the light of reality. There was no closet. The closet was simply a belief in limitation. And now that you've awakened into the light of eternal love, you simply go forth to world after world after world, pressing kisses of divine love upon numerous textiles woven throughout time and space, being and becoming, all of the many dreams and storylines projected by divine mind for the purpose of training and experiencing and dancing to the many, many arenas of consciousness. It is good to dance. Dance lightly upon the worlds in which you think you and dream you inhabit. Dance lightly upon the earth. Press it with kisses of joy from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Become the walking heart. Become the heart of God. Become the safe space where all can find rest and shelter and embracement and inclusion and love. You were made for this. This is your destiny. There is no way to escape it. You are a godling, a Christ in the making. And holiness is your very nature. And the holiest place on earth is where ancient love has become manifested. From the tombs of hatred and vengeance and karmic grievance, immortal love has risen as the Christed love. And that becomes the holiest place on earth. So today we resurrect ourselves from the tombs of everything that has confined our love, that has defined our love, and we enter into the resurrected, immortal state of all-pervasive, unconditional, ever-expanding lovingness. And that, and with that, we bless all that is with the all that we are. And lo, we finally walked from time into eternity. And we suddenly awaken and find that we've always been home. Home is wherever we have placed our loving. We're always in home, in love. There's no distance for love. There's no time for love. No season for love. No birth, no death. No diminution of love. Love is the fulfilling of the law and the prophets and of everything. Because love is God. And we who are the people of God are recognized by our love. Nothing else defines the true person more so than how they treat one another. That reveals who you serve. That reveals whether you be a manifest of ego or a true person, a true divine embodiment. So the signs of soul integration are great love, great integrity, a sense of self-restraint in terms of what you might have given vent to in unconsciousness and ego expression, you monitor so that that which you do is not inflictive in a negative way upon anyone else. You tread the earth with awareness and care, taking care of it with love as if it were your own living room. You guard the environment. You monitor the carbon footprint that you leave upon this earth, because you feel that the earth and everything in it is your own home and your own responsibility. And so great awareness and great peace have those who follow the ways of light and godliness. And the closer you get to your own truth and reality, the more godlike, the more like your older brother Jesus you are seen to be. Just as he was the model of the perfected soul, so also he stands as the wayshower, teaching and guiding each one of us until we also emerge in full Christ-conscious, soul-infused divine glory. You would be surprised, perhaps, to know that almost everyone, perhaps everyone listening to these shows consistently, is ready for this complete soul integration and infusion and enlightenment. Otherwise, you would not have interest in listening to this material. You would be doing something else. But you're listening because you're hungry. You're listening because you're ready to receive this. You're listening because this is another way that the universe is calling you to manifest as a conscious son of God. So be filled, my beloveds, with the glory of the risen Christ within you, and resurrect from the tomb of matter into eternal life. Let's go out chanting the hue, the sacred universal name of the Supreme God. Deep breath. You. Like singing a bhajan, so I'm going to lead you in Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sivayot, Melo Kol Haaretz, Kivodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. And if I can remember how to do it, I'll alternate from Hebrew to English, Hebrew to English, okay? Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sivayot, Melo kol haaretz, kevodo. Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sivayot, Melo kol haaretz, kevodo. Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sivayot, Melo kol haaretz kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sevayot, Melo kol haaretz kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. And that's you, and that's me, and that's all of us, as embodies of the One, embodiments of the One, Divine Spirit. So God evening, and God willing, I will be with you this time next week. Adonai.